Please tell me so that I may be taught in the matter by the instruction of the Personality of Godhead, and may thus act instrumentally to generate living entities without being conditioned by such activities. Responsibly. Please tell me.
Please tell me.
So that I may be taught.
So that I may be taught.
In the matter. By the instruction of the Personality of Godhead.
By the instruction of the Personality of Godhead.
And may thus act instrumentally.
And may thus act instrumentally.
Regenerate living entities.
Regenerate living entities.
Without being conditioned by such activities.
Without being conditioned by such activities.
Brahmaji does not want to become a speculator dependent on the strength of his personal knowledge and conditioned to material bondage. Everyone should know in clear consciousness that one is in the execution of all activities an instrument. A conditioned soul is instrumental in the hands of the external energy, Gunamayi Maya, or the illusory energy of the Lord. And in the liberated stage, the living entity is instrumental to the will of the Personality of Godhead directly. To be instrumental to the direct will of the Lord is the natural constitution. Is the natural constitutional position of the living entity, whereas to be an instrument in the hands of the illusory energy of the Lord is material bondage for the living entity. In that conditioned state, the living entity speculates on the absolute truth and its different activities. But in the unconditioned state, the living entity directly receives knowledge from the Lord, and such a liberated soul acts flawlessly without any speculative habit. The Bhagavad Gita 10.10-11 confirms emphatically that the pure devotees who are constantly engaged in the loving transcendental service of the Lord are directly advised by the Lord, so much so that the devotee unwaveringly makes progress on the path home back to Godhead. Pure devotees of the Lord are therefore not proud of their definite progress, whereas the non-devotee speculator is in the darkness of illusory energy and is very much proud of his misleading knowledge based on speculation without any definite path. Lord Brahma wanted to be saved from the pitfall of pride, although he was posted in the most exalted position within the universe. Om Jnana Tmarandasya Jnana Jnana Shalakaya Chakshur Nirittam Deva Tasmai Shri Vivekananda Shri Chaitanya Vrindavan Sam Sakitan Vena Vitale Swayam Vrindavan Vrindavan Mukham Karam Sivashalam Pangulam Yaitse Girim Yat Kripayata Maham Mande Shri Gurun Tiratavina Pancha Kalpa Trivas Shakti Prasim Vibhe Chalpati Tanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnavi Tukur Namo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Vati Vanya Prabhu Janam Shri Avita Gavadha Sivasu Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Please tell me so that I may be taught in the matter by the instruction of the Personality of Godhead and may thus act instrumentally to generate living entities without being conditioned by such activities. So, Lord Brahma continues to question the Lord in terms of his all-pervasiveness, in terms of how the whole manifestation is nothing but the diffusion of the Lord's differentiated energies, the internal energy, the marginal energy, and the external energy. And the last, I think it's the last purport, Srila Prabhupada gives the example how by Krishna's potency, of course, by Krishna's will, he creates, he maintains, he does everything with his energies. And it's an easy task for the Lord. The example Srila Prabhupada gives is of the spider creating its own web. The spider creates its web. It maintains its own web. And at any time that the spider wants, it will wind up its web. So Krishna's differentiated energies are empowered similarly whether it's the Purusha avatars or the Guna avatars or Shaktivis avatars, so many different answers or expansions of the parts of the Lord in due course of time, act like agents, and therefore the Lord empowers them to act, whether it's to create, maintain, or destroy. And at any given moment, of course, anything can happen under the Lord's will. So, by the grace of the Lord, Lord Brahma is hearing from the Lord Himself about these differentiated energies, about His external energy, His internal energy, and how the marginal energy gets infused into this material creation. Now, the first point that Srila Prabhupada makes in this purport is that Lord Brahma actually doesn't want to become a speculator. Basically, depending on his own knowledge, depending on his conditioned existence. So, Lord Brahma is approaching the Lord because he can see that with himself, he just has a narrow vision. He cannot see the bigger picture. As a secondary creator, of course, he understands the primary source as the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he should be approached for all matters, for all clarity. He should be approached for all knowledge, etc. So in this way, following the disciplic succession, Lord Brahma is showing that our main basis or our main point of knowledge, our main point of realization is based on the direction of the Supreme Lord. And of course, this is all coming in parampara. So becoming a speculator these days, of course, is a big thing, mundane, whether it's philanthropic work or philosophy, certain, generally speaking, of course, the scientific world, sociological world, there's a whole lot of mental speculation, because everything that they put out, all the knowledge that they put out, is basically just configured in their head. It is it's a one-pointed understanding, or it's a one-pointed view of how things are, or how things could be, or how things were, etc. That is why there's always change in the facts, whether it's how long has the earth been here, when did dinosaurs live, or how long have the human species been here. So this information is something that is constantly changing all the time, because it's dependent on someone's minute understanding of the entire system. So it is very, very limiting. It is, as Prabhupada mentions out, these are activities, or this is the mentality, or it's a symptom of the non-devotee class of men. Those who take credit for anything that they find in nature, anything they find in creation, those type of persons, they take credit for themselves and they do not give credit to the Supreme Lord Himself. So this is the mentality of those who mentally speculate, that they're dependent on their conditioned existence, gross and subtle. They are dependent on their unsteady mind to come up with facts of life pertaining to the individual, pertaining to the universe. Therefore, it is all encompassed by the different defects to life. You know, there's always that illusioned aspect a living entity will have, a cheating propensity a living entity will have, imperfect senses, of course, and what's the fourth one? Illusion, cheating, imperfect senses, and lots of mistakes. And we know there are lots of mistakes that people put out there. And these are there because, obviously, we are insignificant living entities, very minute, very small, trying to understand the unlimited scope of the Absolute Truth. So this can only be it can only be possible, actually, when the unlimited person blesses or gives sanction so that he may be understood to some degree by the limited living entity. So our ability to actually approach Krishna, to approach Krishna's knowledge, it is actually being given by Krishna himself. So the devotee, like we hear, we're seeing Lord Brahma, is accrediting everything that he is going to do in the future. He's accrediting his penance, the results and the success of his penance. He's accrediting that to the Supreme Lord. He's not taking credit for his success. He understands, actually, my success only lies in the fact that the Supreme Lord has awarded me the intelligence. The Supreme Lord has awarded me the understanding in which I should act. Similar situation to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. When Arjuna was in a perplexed situation, of course he proposed all his different arguments and Krishna would refute them, sometimes using karma yoga logic, sometimes using jnana yoga or using, you know, the renounced path, whether it's, you know, mysticism or whatever. The Lord would provide arguments to Arjuna to make him see and understand and bring his intelligence up to a point where he understands that I am meant to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is orchestrated again in the Bhagavad Gita by Krishna himself, showing that indeed our perpetual situation is that we are always the subordinate, we are always the servants of Krishna. Under any circumstance, whether one gets empowered to create, just like Lord Brahma is here, he is the secondary creator, so he's given that post. Nonetheless, he questions the Lord as to how to perform this service because he understands the intelligence will come through his relationship with the Lord. His intelligence will come through his service to the Lord. It is not by his mental speculation, it is not by his own developed knowledge that he can actually understand how to create. It is actually by the grace of Krishna. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is quoting, or he mentions two verses in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 10 to 11. Tesha, tatsamata yuktana, bhajatan priti kumakam, tadami buri yogantam, yenama upayanti te. So he says, Krishna is saying that to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. And here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks a lot about how this buddhi yoga, this intelligence in yoga, he creates that he says buddhi or this intelligence, it is actually the way of buddhi yoga means the way of Krishna consciousness. So it is bhakti yoga, the ultimate goal of that progress, of course, is Krishna. So when one acts in buddhi yoga, when one acts with the highest type of intelligence according to the pages of Bhagavad Gita, then one is actually in yoga with Krishna. That is the highest type of yoga. Further on, Srila Prabhupada mentions about when a person knows the goal of life but he's addicted to the fruits or to the results of those activities, then he's acting in karma yoga. Now we can say that some persons in this world, they are addicted to the fruit. Once to speak of the fruit, the results, they're addicted to the action itself, but they do not know what the actual goal is. So sometimes you have mundane philosophers, scientists, etc. They are attached and they're addicted to the fruits and to the activities, but they don't know what the goal of life is. They do not know that the goal is Krishna. And sometimes people say that they are performing karma yoga. But karma yoga is accredited to someone who knows the goal, but they are attached to their material activities. So it's actually to put someone on a high pedestal to say you're performing karma yoga, because it means that they understand what the goal of life is, but they have some material attachment. They're attached to the results, they're attached to the activities. So in different yoga schools, sometimes persons who come to urban yoga, or you meet them on the street, they'll tell you that, oh, I go to this place and we do karma yoga. we're doing work. Like, so what do you do? Yeah, I clean, I do this. And what you do it for? Oh, we just do it. That's something that we do. Like, there's no real proper foundation or attachment to what really, what is the yoga? What is it in relation to? You're doing work, but what for or who for? So karma yoga means that one is performing, but one knows what the goal of life is. One is performing action, he knows what the goal of life is, but he has attachment for certain activities. He has attachment for the fruits of his activities. So that is a karma yogi. So sometimes people flaunt it very easily. I'm performing karma yoga, I'm having my McDonald's burger, I'm performing karma yoga during the day or at night. But they don't know what the goal of life is. So this is not a karma yogi. In Kali Yuga, these things are, you know, it's putting someone on a pedestal when you say they're a karma yogi, because they have to know the goal of life, and they do not. That is the sad reality. Further on after karma yoga, Srila Prabhupada mentions that when one knows that the goal is Krishna, but he takes pleasure in mental speculation to understand Krishna, he's acting in Jnana Yoga. So we see sometimes there's so many various books that might be there. People like to read a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and you hear it all the time. It's like a disease. Srila Prabhupada said the Western disease is like they like to change things. They take something from this book, they take something from that book, then they concoct something. It might be like this. This is my religion. This is my philosophy of life. Although they're basing it, they might have a really strong inclination for Krishna, and they might even accept Krishna as the supreme absolute truth. There are some people out there who do accept that Krishna is the absolute. But they have this disease of liking to go here and there and speculating about what the goal of life is. This is why sometimes Srila Prabhupada would give instructions that do not waste your time reading too many books. And some people have this disease, they read too many books. Sometimes we meet them, oh, do you guys have a copy of the Samaveda or the Rig Veda? I want to read it. Or I want to read the Puranas. And so it's not necessary, just read Bhagavad Gita. You can understand much better. But they have this tendency, they accept me as Krishna, as Bhagavan, he is the Supreme. But then they go and they're attracted to all different sorts of books, because then they come and speculate about what they think, the philosophy and what the conclusion should be. So this is mental speculation. There's a foundation, but you concoct the process, you concoct the goal of that foundation to create your own, this is a contamination, to create our own understanding. So this is a difficulty of trying to become too much of a jnani, because we have this lower nature, the modes are acting on us at any time. The mind is unsteady unless it's been purified in the process of bhakti, that we can very easily get swayed and get into this concept of mentally speculating about everything. Sometimes we ask people a simple question, what is this? They'll start going on and giving a soliloquy. They do not know. Instead of just saying, I don't know, they'll start going on and on, speculating. Oh yeah, well I think, you know, the last few times I was here it was explained, but I really think this, this and that. It's very difficult for people to actually admit that they don't know. Therefore they speculate. Right? It's pride. You think that you know something based on your mind and your conditioned state. So this is the difficulty that the current actual civilization has, that there's such a system of competitiveness, that people compete against each other. We're going to come up with the most radical thing. I'm going to come up with the most idiotic or non-intelligent way to spend time as a human being, and we'll have a competition and see who makes more money about it. So it is a... this speculation, it is a disease. It's a material disease that puts one in the center, whether the one is seeing themselves as the body or the mind or the contaminated intelligence. One puts themselves as the center of their knowledge. One puts themselves, whether it's their mind or their body sensations and hormones and feelings, they put that as the center of gaining knowledge. You go to any 13-year-old, they think they've figured out what life is about. Right? Because their hormones are telling them, it feels good to act like this at this time. I know what I'm talking about. Or when you're a young adult, you know the ways of the world. You're still young, you have that energy, you have the youth. You think you know everything, you haven't had any experience, but you think you know. Or you have some sharp intelligence, or you have a good material situation, whether it's you have a high IQ, you have your PhD in whatever, physics or whatever. So people take these things very dear to them, and they place that as a foundation for whatever knowledge that they might get. And this is very limiting because it is based on material sense perception. It is based on the perception of the diseased mind and body. So it's very limiting for the caged in living entity. So the living entity, that analogy Srila Prabhupada gives, there's a picture of it as well in one of the old books of this bird in a cage. And we spend so much time decorating, you know, dusting the cage. The bird is inside. The bird is about to collapse because there's no attention. It's not being fed. The attention is just on the cage. So that cage, we can understand it to be our material identity. The eyes that we have, the I'm a woman, I'm a man, I'm a physicist, I'm a chemist, I'm this or that. Forgetting the aspect of the soul, which is a servant of Krishna. So Lord Brahma here is explaining that it is very important to actually know in our natural constitutional position that we're meant to be the instrument of the Lord. We can choose that, or naturally we'll be an instrument to the external energy. And when we're instrumental in the ways of the material energy, we lose focus, we lose identity of the real self, we lose our spiritual identity, and we become entrapped and enamored by the external glare of our cage. We become enamored by our beauty, we become enamored by our body, we become enamored by our education, by our good parentage. We become enamored by all of these things, and we ignore the real aspect, the jiva, in the body, which is giving consciousness, which is spreading life around the body. So we have these two options. And there's no in-betweens, really. You either serve the external energy or you're serving the internal energy. That's it. There's actually, some people say there's spiritual, and but you either belong to the external energy or the internal pleasure potency. You function under these two. There is no in-between. You are marginal. You can swing both sides because we have that minute independence. So at any given point in time, we're either serving the external or the internal energy. Now some persons don't accept that, but that's the fact. You either serve Maya or you're serving Yarasur Mahamaya, or you're either serving Yoga Maya. There's no in-between. Even for a devotee. Not that you become a devotee, you chant Hare Krishna for 2 weeks, then all of a sudden, you know, you're all the way in Vaikuntha and we're not wary of all these allurements that might creep up on us. And sometimes you might see you're chanting Hare Krishna for X number of years, then out of nowhere, Anatta 5 comes out, and then you have Mr. Lust coming out, and then anger comes here, then envy comes here, then pride. Here Lord Brahma is speaking particularly about pride. How it's important that we also understand that the fact that we're being instrumental and being used in Krishna's service should be accredited to Krishna himself. Not that we've done something so great that we've made it on our own, but no, actually Krishna says, as I've mentioned, to those who are constantly devoted to worshipping me, I give the understanding. So at the end of the day, it is Krishna. We endeavor, yes, but it is Krishna who sees this living entity is ready. I will reward them accordingly. So yes, we also do our part, but at the end of the day, it is actually up to Krishna's disposal. We are at Krishna's disposal. And then the other verse that Srila Prabhupada mentions, Tesham Imadukam Partam Aham Ajana Gyam Tamaha Nashayami Atma Bhavasto Jnana Dipana Bhaskata. To show them special mercy, I dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So the super soul is merciful enough to travel with us from one body to the other. And when the time is ready, when we have sufficient sukriti, when we have some type of adhikar, some type of qualification, then the super soul makes further arrangements for us to revive our intelligence and be able to discriminate this is material sensual pleasure and this is spiritual sensual pleasure. There is pleasure in serving the spiritual energy, and that is what we are after. So when our intelligence gets aroused by hearing topics about Krishna, because that is the only way that our intelligence gets sharpened. The intelligence of the material world, 1 + 1 = 2, or whatever, yes, it is necessary. We have to maintain ourselves while living in this material world, but that is not the absolute knowledge. That is not the topmost knowledge. The topmost knowledge is understanding who am I, what is my nature, and how can I be reinstated back into my original transcendental position. This is the knowledge that supersedes all other types of knowledge. All other types of knowledge anyone can get. But this specifically for the living entity in the human body, it is very, very beneficial. It is the utmost importance that we actually understand, yes, we were born in ignorance, but by bathing my intellect in topics regarding Krishna, naturally, this darkness will be removed. There is no way that the darkness can reside when there is light. It is not possible. And Krishna is that light. Topics related to Krishna give clarity. Krishna's devotees give clarity. Right, so these are ways that Lord Brahma is trying to make all of us see that we are eternally subservient to the Lord. Our natural constitutional position is to serve the Lord's pleasure potency, internal pleasure potency, not His illusory energy. That is not the sole purpose of our existence. So we are meant to serve the Lord, and whatever success we may get, whatever intelligence we may have, whatever position we may have, especially position, whatever that we may get, we understand that it is actually coming from Krishna. It is not just us. We are not the only actors. The real doer is actually Krishna, who inspires from the heart. I always used to think, how is it that when a calf is born or when any animal is born, it knows exactly what to do? People say it's all by chance, we just kind of, we're born, drop on the floor, or you squeal, depending on whether you're from an egg or whatever. And then you just know exactly what to do. If you look up, I've watched a video of a calf being delivered. As soon as it comes out, it knows it's even scientifically, it has to stay down for some time so that it adjusts to the atmosphere. It stands up and it immediately goes to the udder of the mother to suck milk. You don't see the farmer dragging it to the mom's udder, putting the calf's mouth into the tit of the mother to suck milk. Right? In every species of life, the Lord is guiding the living entity how to act. It is not that by chance, this cow just pops out and then it knows what to do. Everything is perfectly designed. There's a perfect designer. So even in the animal species, the plant species, everything is designed in such a way, and everything is given energy and intelligence by the Supreme Lord. If we take that out, we're in ignorance once again. If the guidance of the Lord is not there, we are in ignorance. We're steeped in ignorance. So, Lord Brahma's position also is very, very significant because he's the secondary creator. Now, that is a huge post. It's a big responsibility. And very, very easy, one can get proud. So he's praying intensely here that he doesn't get enamored by this position, that he always understands I'm at the shelter of my spiritual master, my Lord and my guide, and it is because of him I have this post. Whatever credit I get, I give back to him, for he's the one who supplies the intelligence. So this is the eternal relationship that happens between Krishna and his devotees. Krishna provides for the devotee offers everything to Krishna, Krishna offers everything to that devotee. And on, this is how the relationships go. So even with Lord Chaitanya, he understands that sometimes it seems that the servant enjoys more than the Lord. Therefore, I want to be the servant because Krishna gives so much. The servant gives so much. The Lord himself can't understand. How is it possible that they are enjoying so much just by serving me? Therefore, I want to come as that devotee. I want to come as a devotee and witness and experience this service attitude, this subordinate nature, this nature of dependence on the Supreme Lord. Therefore he comes as Lord Chaitanya, he comes as a servant, he comes as a devotee to relish something that Krishna himself is trying to understand. So Krishna cannot understand what is it that Srimati Radharani feels and experiences. Therefore he has to come as Lord Chaitanya to understand it. And that is an eternal form. It's not that he just pops up one day, there's a Lord Chaitanya, and then he disappears. It is an eternal form. It's an eternal leela that goes on. So here it is very nice to see how Lord Brahma is praying that he doesn't get afflicted by pride because he's put in an exalted position, because he has amassed a whole lot of intelligence for becoming the secondary creator. So he's praying to the Lord, please save me from this pitfall of pride because I have an exalted position. For us as well, I'm a devotee of Krishna, I'm unstoppable. I do not validate my tram ticket, or I do not pay my bills, I'm a devotee. No. That's not how we behave. We understand it. Any minute we have to always take shelter of Krishna. And we are not barred. Doesn't mean that because you're chanting Hare Krishna in our beginning stages, that pride and envy and madness, they'll just run away. They're still there. We have to get rid of them. So we're always wary. We are always vigilant about these weeds that rise when one automatically performs bhakti. So this is what Lord Brahma is looking at. Okay, I have performed my austerity in bhakti yoga. It says that in the purport, a few verses down, that the austerities Lord Brahma performed were in bhakti yoga. And the Lord rewarded him, gave him intelligence to become the secondary creator. And he understood, okay, this is all coming from the Lord. I've performed my austerities. But at the same time, I have to be attentive. Because as your bhakti lata bhij grows, weeds also grow. And sometimes they look like the real thing. They look like the creeper of bhakti. So we have to be really intelligent and sharp in identifying what these weeds are by taking shelter of. We educate ourselves, of course, about what these weeds are. What are the 10 offenses? What are the different types of aparas? How to relate to devotees, how to offer respect, how to show Vaishnava etiquette, etc. We educate ourselves about all these things and always remember that we are constitutionally subservient, subordinate to the Lord. We are the Lord's servant and we should always take shelter at His lotus feet at every step of our devotional service and take shelter of His representatives, the spiritual master and the other Vaishnavas. So I'll stop there and ask if there's any comments, questions, or corrections. We should end up the room.
Raji, you were saying that we're very insignificant. So how is it that we feel so significant?
Why is it that we
feel so significant?
Okay, so Uchipinda Prabhu is asking, we are so insignificant, there's unlimited jivas in existence. You know, I understand that there's, in this room alone, wonderful Bhakti Rasamrita Mart was explaining at Urban Yoga, explaining to the guests that, you know, just in this room alone, there's billions of living entities. Once you speak about in your own body, there's so many living entities. So we're just one living entity who has this human body, which is seen to be a bit more developed. We think we're so significant because we have such a big false ego. Sometimes it can't even come through the door. You know what I mean? Sometimes we're puffed up like a puri because we have a certain name or we have a certain look. It is basically we're identifying with something that is made to seem significant. In this world, when you have a certain eye color, when you have a certain hair color, when you have a certain skin tone, you are seen as great. So all these stipulations are being put on by contaminated minds, contaminated senses, and these expand in communities, in nations, in the entire world. The whole world is moving under a certain way based on the false conception of I am this and this is mine. So the reason why we feel so significant and big and large is because we think we are the masters of all that we survey. Ahankar vrindatma kataham iti manyate. We think we are actually the doers, and we're not. Lord Brahma is stating here that actually, my Lord, you are the door. I'm an instrument. Living entities are just instruments. What can we do? We can't even stop blinking. We can't even create anything. Everything is already created, but we just manipulate it to produce different things. Everything is provided by the Lord. In the Ishopanishad, it is explaining that everything, you know, animate or inanimate, it has its origin in the Lord. So we feel like we're extremely significant because of the false conception of I and mine, and that permeates through our individual relationships, familial, communal, global. And that's the pride we're talking about. That's the pride what Brahma is talking about. So explain how at the same time that we water our Bhakti Lata Beach, our seed of devotional service, weeds also automatically grow. You know, just like in a garden, you would know, you deal with plants a lot. The nature of mature existence, the nature of the body, the nature of this package that we have is instilled with so many different things, gross and subtle. So we have our unmanifest sinful reactions. Just because, you know, they normally say that children are innocent, right? But there's a whole lot of stuff waiting to sprout, right? Unlimited desires from previous births. And it's just a matter of time till they all poof, expand. So at the same time, our Bhakti Lata Bij is there. Everywhere, actually, Krishna consciousness is already, it's within the heart of every living entity. It's dormant. Dormant means it's just lying, just like there's fire dormant in wood. If you know how to work it, you produce fire from wood. The fire is dormant. Krishna consciousness is lying dormant in the heart of the living entity. Depending on the entity's activities, that Krishna consciousness sparks and flares up, or it is slowly it becomes covered and covered lifetime after lifetime. So when you have this package of the material body, it comes with the four defects. It comes with Adi Admita, Adi Bhautika, Adi Devika, three types of miseries, naturally. The material body in itself is handicapped, so we're subjected to certain material afflictions, material ideas, because it's been a perpetual cycle since time immemorial. So when we eventually come to start cultivating our Bhakti Lata creeper, we start watering it. And at the same time, there have been all these gross and subtle things we've been doing. Now, when you water a plant, you know, things will pop up, and we have to, as I say, we have to educate ourselves, and we have to know what the bad weeds are. We have to identify what pride is. We have to identify what envy is. We have to identify what madness, what illusion. We have to identify them. We have to know what it does to the heart and how it comes out in our actions. So how that happens, of course, when we chant Hare Krishna, our mind can be having material desires. We might be feeding those material desires, but we shouldn't take Ram Ram away. So at the same time, Ram Ram Ramhire, Ram 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 Ram, we're thinking and meditating about something else. And because, you know, Krishna doesn't interfere with our minute independence. He's the supreme independent Lord, so we have that quality too. We have independence, we have free will. So depending on what's going on in here, it feeds on when we do anything. You can be mechanically chanting. Lifetime after lifetime, we repeat that verse in the morning. We will not get Krishna Prem. You can sit in this corner and chant for 10 years and still have the same desire and the same issues. Right? Because we're not really watering our bhakti, our devotion to Krishna. We're watering our devotion to our body, our devotion to our mind, our devotion to our hormones, our emotions. That's what we're watering. So, in one lecture, His Holiness Devam Chaswami says, yeah, you can make some advancement, even if you practice mechanically. But it will be a very long time to get Krishna Prem. So when we water our creeper of devotion, devotion to Lord Krishna, and that which is directly related to Krishna, naturally that creeper will grow. Now sometimes in life, in our bhakti sojourn, we are given tests, just like the Pandavas are given tests, Arjuna is given tests, so many devotees in the Bhagavatam are tested by the external energy, and they taste out of Krishna. And when Krishna gives them the intelligence, they're able to defeat and cut off these weeds with knowledge. Bhagavad Gita explains that this tree, this huge tree, the banyan tree that's being explained in the Bhagavad Gita, it's cut down by the weapon of knowledge. The tree has all these different branches, different ideas, different conceptions of life. And you know, it's the roots are spread. It's just like, where do you even begin to chop off this tree? There's so many weeds that will choke our devotion, so many misconceptions. So we need knowledge. We need the highest knowledge to chop down this tree. And the more we instill within us knowledge about Krishna, these weeds won't survive. They will get choked up and they'll die. But it has to be an incessant thing that we do. Constant hearing and chanting and engaging our body in Krishna service. We can't just chant. We'll fall down. We don't have that adhikaran kalyuga of just sitting down to chant. We have to be active. Does that help? Yes, Dad, I'll take the last one.
In this evidence, the devotee is convinced that Krishna has given him instruction from within the heart.
Mm-hmm.
But then the devotee would rather say that this is not the right Krishna to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain this?
Well, it's very difficult in a conditioned state to actually, not that it's difficult, I should say. So the question is, sometimes Krishna gives us instruction from within the heart, and we feel convinced that this is Krishna's desire. Then we check with the devotees and they say, So how true, how does that gel? Well, Krishna himself says, when one is 100% engaged in devotional service, 24 hours a day, when we are purified to the point where we understand that the super soul is actually in here, we can take dictation from the super soul. It takes a certain level of purity. Most of us are not there yet. We cannot take direct counsel from the super soul. First of all, we don't even know he's there. The Shastra says so, but you know, it's, you know, okay, the super soul is in the heart. Okay, Some of us don't, we accept it because Shastra says, but we don't have that realization. We have so much contamination. And the super soul, when he sees that, he blesses us by sending us his expansion, the spiritual master. So the spiritual master is Krishna's mercy, saying, okay, now I'm going to guide you because you cannot perceive me in the heart. You don't have that adhikar yet, therefore I come from without. I'm within, but I will again come as a spiritual master. That is why in bhakti we always have our checks and balances, Guru, Sangha, and Shastra. That we have the Vaishnavas there, we have the Guru there. And sometimes the dictation is not coming from the heart, it's coming from our head. And we mix the two. Or we're really convinced and we attach our heart and emotions to it. Because we want, you know, situation A to be like this, situation B to be like this. We're convinced, yes, it must be like this. But if we go around and ask those we take shelter of, those who give us guidance, if they're not in favor, then we should step back and say, okay, maybe this is not such a good thing, or maybe I should wait. But these are our checks and balances. So that's how we should act. If we just depend on our conviction that Krishna is speaking from within, you know, we might get into trouble. We might get ourselves into trouble. Because we're so young in bhakti. We're so young. Okay, I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Rantarashina Bhagavan Ki.
Joy.
Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy. Joy.